Welcome to Arizona Boomer Radio with the Boomer and the Babe. Arizona Boomer Radio gives voice to 1.4 million boomers throughout the Grand Canyon State and beyond. Each show has a different guest and a different topic. We hope you enjoy the relaxed conversational style of the show. Nothing fancy, just boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff. Now here are the hosts of the show, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. And welcome to Arizona Boomer Radio with the Boomer and the Babe. And the Babe's not here today. The Babe is out working. She's doing things with some of our clients. Spending a lot of time out of the office lately with our clients. I better check into that. I know she's working hard because I can see the results. And it's really nice that we're being used by a lot of these folks that are having interest in publishing books and so on and so forth. And we do that. And also some people that are interested in being on the radio program, which is what we're doing here today. It is Tuesday, October 9th, 2012, and we are broadcasting from our studios in Sun City, Arizona. I'm Pete Peters. As I mentioned, Deborah, the Babe, is not here. We encourage everybody to go to boomerthebabe.com, see everything else that we're involved in, including our new Camel Talk series. We're in the process of trying to develop Camel Talk, which is the story of two camels. And these two lovely young lady camels are teaching our kids and grandkids politeness, being good citizenship, about good citizenship, and so on, and learning to become good students. And we're hopefully going to be encouraging them all to read and to learn through this series. And it'll also include a Camel Talk radio program right here on the Boomer and the Babe network. So we're looking forward to that. I invite you to go to boomerandthebabe.com, click on Camel Talk, and see how you can get involved in supporting the efforts of the camel ladies, and how we're going to be able to hopefully get this message to hundreds of thousands of youngsters ages 3 to 6 or 8 and their most formative learning years. Enough said about my personal conversation with our efforts and so on and so forth. I want to introduce you to our guest today. His name is Tom Grisel. I hope I pronounced that right. He's the author of a weight loss book, Turbocharged, and it sounds interesting, and I'm talking to him before the show. He assures me that he could turbocharge me and get me to lose weight, and boy, do I need it. So, Tom, welcome to Arizona Boomer Radio with the Boomer the Babe.
Well, Pete, thank you for having me on.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you, and if Deborah were here, she would ask you first off to get us rolling. Give us a little two-minute movie, if you would, about Tom. Did I pronounce that right, Grisel? Okay, mm-hmm. Very good, thank you. And give us a little movie, a two-minute movie about Tom Grisel. And what have you been doing prior to writing your book and being involved in what you're involved in now?
Okay. Well, I am 58 years old, and Pete and I are neighbors. I live just west of him in appropriately named Sun City West, and I've been here for about a year and a half. Prior to that, I owned and founded a small investment bank in Northern California, and prior to that, I lived on Long Island in New York for 42 years, and I've always been a lifetime reader and interested in how things work, and I became very interested in how our bodies work because I always wanted my body to work as efficiently and as it could. And so I've always been interested in health and things that make us healthy. My younger sister, Diane, and my co-author in the Turbocharged series of books had very similar interests, and she's also a very successful businesswoman. But there came a time where we developed and finally really dialed in the Turbocharged system, for lack of a better term, And we decided to, we were encouraged. We were experimenting on a lot of family, a lot of friends, and they basically encouraged us to write the book for, you know, for the masses. It's really a very easy to read and easy to understand book.
What is the basis of your whole Turbocharged series, your belief structure with regard to nutrition and diet? What is the cornerstone of what it is that that you purport?
Okay. Well, I think the first thing that people really need to know is that we are, as humans, really no different from humans that were walking around on this planet 30,000 years ago. If we were to, you know, find a human couple from 30,000 years ago, give them a shave and clean them up and, you know, do their hair and put them in modern clothes, if we took them to a cocktail party, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference, okay? Except they would probably be, you know, a couple that was in much better shape than most other people in the room. Today, we have basically the same exact body and physiology and the same exact needs, but we live in an entirely different world. Back then, food was often scarce, and we had to go out and work for it to get it. Today, it's like we've been transported. It's like we took those people and transported them to here, but it's like we have been transported to an alien planet. We're living in a, you know, in a world that doesn't really work with our physiology. These days, we don't have to, food is a very abundant, and we don't have to work for it. We can sit down in our own homes, watch TV, you know, call up for pizza, soda, and ice cream and have it delivered right to our door. And so, you know, our environment, in some ways is excellent, but in other ways it doesn't work for to our health benefit.
Is your I think we're probably going to get into more specifics, but is your program primarily one of vegetarianism, or are there meats involved? So what are we looking at there?
Okay, it is not vegetarian. Okay, it is because, you know, the evidence is overwhelming that early humans were not vegetarians. They ate all kinds of things. They ate whatever they could find. They ate a lot of plants, and they ate animal products, fish, eggs, meat, whenever they could get their hands on it. And sometimes they could and sometimes they couldn't. So our diet does include, a wide selection of proteins and plants and fruits that agree with us, and other foods that actually agree with our physiology. And so, yes, there's lots of things that you can eat. There's some things that we recommend that you don't eat, at least while you're trying to lose, you know, weight and lose your excess body fat. But it's a pretty open diet, and you can be a vegetarian and you can eat it if you're so inclined. But you can also be, just love to eat meat like I do and do it also.
Years ago, and we're talking back in the day here now, the mother of my daughter was intent on losing weight after her birth, after the birth of our daughter. And she started going to the gym and worked out and worked out and worked out and got herself less than 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. She literally passed out in the gymnasium, in the gym. And she was taken to the hospital and into emergency, and they said, what could be causing it? Is she doing any drugs or whatever, et cetera, et cetera? I said, no, she's just not eating and she's exercising too much. I said, give her some food. I think she'll be fine. And they did the glucose tolerance test and all the things that they did back then. And when push came to shove, they said, she's developed hypoglycemia. And they gave her a diet. and the diet was 6 small meals a day. And lo and behold, within a matter of just weeks, she was feeling great, she was looking good, and she had put weight on, and there she maintained it. And as she would maintain that weight, probably until the day we divorced, I guess, but anyhow, she would maintain that, and she'd maintain that, and she's still maintaining it pretty much today as we speak. And it's just having to do with, I think she's probably still at some level, and I don't know because I don't pay that much attention to her diets anymore, but I think she's doing, you know, like 6 small meals a day kind of a thing. At least that was a hypoglycemia approach. Is that anything to do with what you're saying?
Well, you know, it can work that way. You know, you hit on a couple of important points there. It can work that way. You know, we have some people who like to eat, you know, small meals during the day. And, you know, the food selection is very important. We'll get into that. But, you know, someone like me, I generally eat one meal a day. You know, I might have a little something during the day, but I enjoy, I do a lot of work. It keeps my mind free. I don't worry about food. And then in the evening, I sit down and most people are surprised what I eat in one meal. And you know, if you went to the website and looked at my picture, you would say, wow, eating one meal at night, you would think it would make you fat because that's what you hear on the news, but it's not really true. So all of those, you know, both of those approaches work, but the thing that you touched on is that there's a commonality in almost all diet and weight loss advice that is fundamentally incorrect because it works against the way our bodies work, and that is virtually every diet will tell you you need to, number one, restrict your calories, and number two, you need to exercise a lot more, particularly aerobic exercise. And that actually is not good for us. And your ex-wife, you know, experienced the same thing, because what that does is it's not natural for us to do that, and it causes the loss of lean body mass, the loss of muscle. And that loss of lean body mass is the downfall of virtually every diet that people, every failed diet.
I can see that. So if somebody is, and by the way, you're absolutely right. I was on your website I think the site that I got through Amazon, it was the bio of you and your sister. And you both look great. I mean, you really do. You're slim. You looks like you're at your high school fighting weight. And I just had this sense in looking at what I saw there of you that you could do damn near anything you wanted to do right now physically, because I think you're probably very, very fit as well as very lean. But I just have a sense of that. Is that the case?
You know, it is. You know, I hike with a group here. But, you know, people look at me and they think that I exercise a lot more than I do. Other than being active, a little bit more active, I don't sit around and watch TV. As we're speaking, I'm actually pacing around the room. I spend a lot of time on my feet. I generally go for a walk in the morning, but it's less than an hour. You know, I use that time to just kind of collect my thoughts and figure out what I'm going to do for the day. But as far as exercise goes, you know, I exercise for probably, you know, about 30 minutes tops a week, not at a time, a week. That's my total exercise per week. And it's spread out, you know, over the course of a week. And, so I hardly do any exercise at all, but I'm able to maintain a very high level of fitness. You know, if I wanted to go out and run right now, I could, but that's not something that I normally do. As a matter of fact, I don't remember the last time I went out and ran, but if I had to go out and run 3 miles today, I could do it. So you're absolutely right.
The next question that I would come up with would be, you know, some people are just blessed with a phenomenal metabolic rate that keeps them automatically toned and slender, whereas the rest of us, myself included, Well, I tell you, we just, you know, my metabolism must be pretty slow because I just got to look at food and I can put on weight.
Well, you know, I think that you're absolutely right. There are some people who, you know, have been blessed with genes that tend to help them to, you know, stay lean and trim. And, you know, there are other people that, possess genes that might, you know, predispose them to, to putting on weight. But I think that what everyone needs to know and understand is that, number one, anybody, regardless of their genes, can become overweight and gain fat. And anyone, regardless of their genes, can get lean. Before we got on the phone today, you know, there was, you know, I told you the story of Chuck out in Southern California.
Yes.
who weighed 415 pounds. He's a big bone guy. He's a very big man to start with. But he weighed 415 pounds, and he was having joint problems and back problems and blood pressure problems. And his orthopedic surgeon, who was making a brace for his knee, you know, recommended that he get turbocharged. And I don't know this doctor, but he's a very famous orthopedic surgeon in Southern California. His name is Paul Murphy. And Dr. Murphy recommended that Chuck pick up the book. Now, he never talked to us, and I never knew that he had the book. But I'll make a long story short. Chuck followed the book as outlined, and he has lost 150 pounds in the last year. So now he's down to, you know, about, I don't know, I want to say, you know, 250 pounds, right around that range, 265 pounds. And he looks great. I mean, he looks like Superman because he is a big man. And he, you know, can't thank us enough because not only does he look totally different, but he feels totally different, and he is totally different. And interestingly enough, he doesn't belong to a gym. Okay, he does exactly what we tell him to do, that what we tell everybody to do in the book, and he just followed the program, and he was able to, you know, consistently get his weight down. But it's not just weight. So, you know, we can talk about the difference between, you know, losing weight and losing fat, because that's another point where everybody, you know, misses the boat.
Let's talk about that right now. You brought that up. I think that's a good place to do that. What is, you say that it's wrong to focus on weight loss, as in the weight on a scale, instead of fat loss, and that you need to improve the body composition. Explain that statement, please.
Okay. What happens is that, and this is the reason why BMI, you know, that everybody
body
takes,
mass
is really,
index,
right, is really useless. You know, I mean, it's kind of a good guide, but it's certainly not the best guide. When people say that they want to, you know, lose weight or they want to get in shape, what they really mean is that they want to lose their excess body fat. That's what they really want to lose, but they don't. They think about what's on the scale. So they say, I want to lose 20 pounds, okay? And that's what everybody does. Or I want to lose 10 pounds, or I want to lose 40 pounds. And there are a couple of ways to lose that 40 pounds. In Turbocharged, we explain how and why you want that 20 pounds to be only body fat and not lean body mass, which is your bones or your muscles. Because like your wife, if you diet incorrectly, you will lose weight. You will watch your scale weight go down. The problem is that when you look in the mirror, you're not going to look toned and muscular and lean. You're just going to look like a shrunken version of yourself. And the reason why that is because it's possible on a poor diet to lose to that scale weight to be 50% fat and 50% muscle. So you're just kind of like a mini me when you're done, and you don't really look any fitter. You're just lighter on your scale.
And isn't it the case that muscle actually weighs more than fat?
You know, maybe slightly more, but the real key is that when you talk about metabolism, everybody says, you know, as I got older, my metabolism has slowed down, or I have a slow metabolism.
Right.
The difference between fat and muscle and lean body mass is that muscle is what drives your metabolism. The more muscle you have, the better your metabolism is 24 hours a day. Okay? Muscle is active. Fat is not. Muscle is metabolically active. So the more muscle, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, and it's not about bulking up. It's about body composition. It's about your power to weight ratio. You want to be mostly muscle and have very little fat. And when you do, when you have that combination, and when that is your goal to focus on either maintaining your lean body mass while you're dieting or even gaining lean body mass while you're dieting, which is simple to do. Most diet people will tell you it's not, but it really is, and we've got the proof, and lose only your body fat. That's what makes the big difference. That's what makes the most dramatic transformations, you know, for people looking in the mirror. We've had lots of people lose only 20 pounds of scale weight. Women in particular lose 20 pounds of scale weight. But actually, when we look at their body composition, what they actually lost was 30 pounds of fat, and they gained 10 pounds of lean body mass. And their clothes fit them entirely different, and they're ecstatic at the way they look.
People expect different things from diets, weight loss programs, when they set their goals and so on and so forth. Do people overestimate what they can accomplish in the short term and underestimate what they can accomplish in the long term?
They sure do. And there are several problems with that. Number one is if you think you've got 20 pounds to lose, you probably have 40 pounds to lose. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but you probably have twice as much fat that you need to lose as what you think. Okay? And you know, even with our program, which I think is the fastest way to shred fat from your body and to get into shape with the least amount of work, and we can explain why we take that approach. But with the least amount of work, it's still going to take some time. Okay, so what happens is, we're getting to the end of the year, we're getting to the holiday season, people typically put on a lot of weight in these next couple of months, you know, more, even if they got into shape over the summer, they put in more weight. And then they say, okay, January 1st is going to go roll around, I'm going to start exercising every day, or I'm going to join the gym and I'm going to go every day. And guess what? And I'm going to be in shape in 3 months. Well, guess what? After about 2 weeks, that gets tiring. And all of a sudden they stop. And so, you know, instead of taking, you know, a long-term approach and having the right goal, they think that they're going to lose 40 pounds in a month. And it's just not going to happen. It's not going to be healthy if you could do it. It's certainly not going to be healthy. However, you know, health and fat loss is kind of like investing. You know, over time, you take advantage of compound interest and compound benefits that come on. So, you know, if people set a realistic goal, and it's not 2 pounds a week like everybody says. It's you can lose a lot more than that. You can't lose 150 pounds in a year at 2 pounds a week. So, so what we do is, you know, we show people the most efficient way to do it, but people have to be realistic and know that it's going to take a little bit of time.
The gentleman that you mentioned before in Southern California that lost this massive amount of weight from 400 and something down to 250 approximately, whatever it was, did you say how long a period of time he did that in? Or how short
a period of time? He got the book last July. By July of this year, he was down 140 pounds. And in the month of August into September, he was down an additional 10 for a total of 150 pounds in about 13 months.
That's amazing.
And I want you to know, it's important for people to know that, you know, the weight that he lost was fat. I mean, when you look at this guy at 265 pounds, he looks like Superman. You know, he is, and he doesn't belong to a gym, and he doesn't lift weights, but he's managed to maintain his muscle and strip off the fat, and you know, he's you know, not only is he big, because he's tall, you know, I think he's about 6'4", almost 6'5", so he's a big man, and he's big-boned, but he carries 265 pounds very well.
Now, body style or structure, I think probably a better word, has a lot to do with what you can comfortably carry. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, I think so. I think everybody has got I mean, I've learned this. I always wanted more muscles, but you know, I've come to the conclusion that that everybody's got, you know, a natural amount of muscle that their body will carry without resorting to drugs like bodybuilders do or some actors and things like that. So, you know, if you're big boned, you're going to weigh a little bit more than someone who's small boned. I mean, you know, particularly with women, all women can look fantastic, but not everybody is going to, you know, big bone women are not going to look as petite as, you know, tall, lanky women. But
Right. It's
all about focusing on body composition. You know, in our program, you're not going to bulk up, but you are going to work on developing your natural muscle and getting rid of excess body fat. So you will, and it, you know, without a whole lot of work, by the way, without a whole lot of work, and you will, or hard exercise, and you will build your personal best body.
You have to understand your own motivation for doing this too, don't you? I mean, there's possibilities that, you know, you can get yourself in a funk and you can say, man, damn it, this just isn't working, you know. I'm just going to abandon this whole thing. There's no help for me. You can get into saying that kind of stuff and just really bollocks up your whole effort, don't you? Isn't that the case?
Yeah, it's true because, you know, people need to understand, you know, get a real clear motivation of why they want to, you know, why they want to lose their excess body fat to start with. I mean, most people, they look in the mirror, a lot of people, they look in the mirror and they just say, I want to look better. You know, and that's a great, you know, that's a great reason, because not only will they look better, but they'll be healthier. But other people actually have health challenges that they're concerned about. And so, you know, what we encourage people is to write a list of all of the reasons why, you know, you'd like to get healthier, lose your excess body fat, and be in and look and be in, you know, in better shape. Because what happens is right after that, if you're not really focused on the reasons, you know, on the real personal reasons why you want to, you know, stay on a program, all of a sudden people start to say things like, well, I don't want to give up pasta, or I wish I could eat pasta, or I wish I could eat that donut, I feel like baking cookies, and, you know, and they start to say, you know, they start to speak to themselves in a negative way about what they're gonna miss instead of what they're gonna gain. And, you know, that negative self-talk and not being really clear on your goal and why you were even considering or why you started in the first place, you know, it throws a lot of people off, because we all have positive associations with foods that are not good for us. You know, and I mean, when we were kids, we got rewarded, you know, when we were good, and we got, you know, cookies and ice cream and Twinkies and all kinds of things like that. And that's carried over into, you know, our adult life. We've had that through our whole life. So we don't understand, but those associations are packed deep into our subconscious mind. And, you know, some of us, you know, reach for a Twinkie or something else when we get a little stressed or under certain circumstances, and we have to be able to have a way to deal with that.
I had a friend of mine that years ago had a very significant weight loss, and everybody was saying, "Well, man, how did you do that? I mean, what did you do?" And it wasn't illness or anything like that that caused it. But he said he gave up. I'm trying to think. It was BBPP, no beer. I'm trying to think of what beer, bread, pasta, and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And just by cutting those four items out of all of his diet and not going anywhere near them, he managed to lose a significant amount of weight. And he was a guy like myself, about my height, and he was wider than I am when he first started it. And he had a significant loss. Is that anything to do with the type of program that you are professing?
Yes. In a way, yes, but what you really need to do is, you know, we need to say, and let's go back to that 30,000-year-old couple. We need to look at the kind of things that we evolved, that our bodies evolved eating, and what they operate best on. So the products that you named were not foods that made up a large portion of their diet 30,000 years ago, or 50,000 years ago, or 100,000 years ago. And so there are certain foods that once we eat them, they have an effect on our body which causes us to store body fat. You know, it's kind of like a switch. It's more, you know, it's almost black and white. You know, it's easier for people to picture it as black and white. You know, there's a transition between the two. But, you know, people need to understand that you are either in a fat storing mode or you are in a fat burning mode. Okay, that might be a new concept to people, but it's almost black and white. And what we explain in the book is why people gain fat in the first place, what puts you in fat storage mode, okay? And there are numerous things that will do it, and we explain what those things are, but there aren't many. It's not rocket science. It's really pretty simple. And what can you do to stay in the fat burning mode more? Because it only makes sense that if you're in the fat burning mode more than you're in the fat storage mode, things are going to start going in the right direction for you.
Right. Let's talk a little bit more about that switch and turning that burning and storage function on and off. But before we do that, let me run a couple of spots here, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Boomer the Babe are the publishers of Boomer Series books. Our authors have their own shows on the Boomer the Babe Network. We encourage you to listen. Ron Naraki, author of the forthcoming book, The 10 Commandments of Investing, is the host of Wealth DNA, a financial show about real estate investment. Learn how to build and manage your portfolio. Ron hosts the show, and he always has good information to pass along, as do his guests. Listen to Wealth DNA on the second and fourth Monday of the month at 8 a.m. Arizona time. Tom Liggering's another Boomer Series author. His book, Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, is the basis of the show he does with his broadcast partner, Dr. Terry Munther. Listen to Success or Failure with Tom and Terry on the fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 a.m. Arizona time. Learn how you can maximize your performance in business and in life. The methods you employ can either help or hinder. The choice is yours.
Hey folks, John Bloom here. When I'm not broadcasting for the Cardinals or Suns, I've been spending the last couple of years with my friends building the fastest growing online golf community in the great state of Arizona. Before you book your next round of golf here, go see what golfers just like you are saying about the courses you want to play at golfmix.com. You'll get the most authentic feedback from golfers giving you information you need before you spend the money you've earned. While you're there, write a review of the last course you played and get $10 off your next purchase at Vans Golf Shops. And enter into the Greenskeeper of the Year contest for a chance to win a foursome at the home of the Waste Management Phoenix Open, the stadium course at TPC Scottsdale. Please join us for the next Golf Mixer, Saturday, October 6th at the Raven Golf Club at Verado, and play a hole with PGA Tour winner Aaron Overholser and World Long Drive champion Brian Pavlik. You can find details on golf mixers, tournaments, charity events, junior golf, and more on our statewide golf events calendar. Just check out Golf Mix, Arizona's leading golf course review site and mobile app. What are you waiting for?
Get in the mix!
At golfmix.com.
The Boomer and the Babe are proud to be affiliated with Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free. Valley View is now serving Phoenix from their new 36,000 square foot location at West Peoria and 107th Avenue in Sun City, Arizona. The new location houses the food bank, Feeding Arizona, and the Valley View thrift store. Feeding Arizona delivers food to other food banks and food pantries that are in need. If you're looking for a 501c3 to support, go to valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. All donations are welcome, be it food, money, or volunteer hours. No donation is too small. Get a hold of Jesse Ramirez, founder and director, and say, "I want to help." Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free.
And we're back on Tuesday, October 9th, 2012. We're talking with Tom Graisel about his Turbocharged series of books and his, I'm not going to call it a diet, Tom. I'm going to call it developing new eating habits. How does that sound? Is that better than diet? That is true.
You know, Turbocharged is, you know, I describe Turbocharged as an optimal health program or lifestyle, which is disguised in the original book as a rapid fat loss system, because that is what most people, the reason why most people buy diet books is they want to lose their fat yesterday. You know, most people are not really interested when when they think about, you know, a wellness change or a lifestyle or a healthy lifestyle, you know, they don't relate to that as well as, as programs that say, okay, 17 days, you're going to go on a diet and you're going to lose all your weight and you're going to be, everything is going to be better. So, yeah, it is a lifestyle change, but it's a lifestyle that people, regardless of whether they, you know, they are predominantly vegetarian or they, you know, they love meat or they just love all kinds of different foods, have managed to, you know, use the principles that are in the book to, you know, to develop a lifestyle and a healthy lifestyle that they can maintain over a long period of time until they die.
Until they die thing, that's somewhat ominous when you start thinking of people saying, "My gosh, I'm going to eat this way for the rest of my life."
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a sense that what you're advocating is that drudgery and doldrum way of being a healthy eater.
Well, you know what? I think that most people look at when they when they decide they're going to go on a diet, they start to think about not all of the things that they would enjoy eating, not all of the healthy choices that they have that they would enjoy eating. But they start to think about all the things that they're going to have to give up, all the things that they like to eat that they're going to have to give up. So all of a sudden it becomes a problem. They also believe that they are going to be hungry all the time. You know, in the past they've gone on diets. They're going to be hungry and, you know, they're not going to be able to eat and they're going to live on, you know, their plate is going to have two or three peas or string beans on it and that's all they're going to have. And those are, you know, I mean, nobody wants to do that, quite frankly. Nobody wants to do that. And so, you know, in the Turbocharge program, we teach people, you know, what kind of things can you eat in unlimited quantities and what kind of things should you avoid at least while you are trying to, you know, get to your ideal body composition. And, you know, the thing that was in common with all of those, with your friend's diet where the bees,
right,
was that none of those foods were really part of our evolutionary diet. You know, turbocharge is not, you know, we make a lot of exceptions. Turbocharge is not a paleo diet or a caveman diet, but you really do have to look at, but it's a very scientific diet in that it looks at what our bodies work best on. And one of the things that were non-existent, that are so common today in people's diets, but were non-existent when, you know, going back during our total developmental and evolution period, are concentrated carbohydrates. You know, there was no such thing as pasta. You know, that's a very concentrated carbohydrate. There was no such thing as, you know, a lot of these modern combinations of fast foods where you have fats combined with either sugar or carbohydrates. You never find that combination in nature. Okay, if you were to look around at natural foods that somebody would be able to find out there, there are no such thing as a sugar-fat combination or a high-carbohydrate combination like a potato chip. They just don't occur in nature.
And there's no such thing as a mayonnaise and ketchup tree.
Correct. Now, some of those things that we have around today are not as bad as others. They don't have the same kind of effect on us. So what we do and what we explain in the book is what are the foods that you can almost eat that are natural to us, that you can almost eat in unlimited quantities. I mean, reasonably, if you're going to, you know, you can get fat eating anything. I just, you know, let's get, there are no magic foods. You know, you have to take in a little less energy than you put out. But as your body becomes more efficient and your muscles are working properly, that gets a little bit easier. But in the meantime, what most people do is, all these diets, not only do they want you to cut calories and exercise, but they want you to eat five or six meals throughout the day, and they want them to have like some grains and other things, or, you know, or any energy drinks. They say eat these small meals throughout the day. There's a problem with what you choose to eat. If you eat a food, even a small amount of a food that is going to raise your blood sugar to a point where it's higher than what your body wants it to be, and it doesn't take many concentrated carbohydrates to do it. If you do that, you will turn off your fat-burning switch and go into fat storage mode, okay? So that's the biggest problem with not necessarily with eating small meals, but it's in the selection of those small meals that you pick that could stop your body. Every meal you eat might turn into a meal that turns your fat-burning switch off. You know, you wake up in the morning, and you haven't had a meal all night long. Believe it or not, in the morning, everyone is in fat-burning mode. Everybody's in fat-burning mode. But what most people do, what you need first thing in the morning is water. You know, you weigh yourself right before you go to bed, weigh yourself in the morning, and you're at least 2 pounds lighter. That difference has to do with water. Okay, so we're all about a quart low when we wake up in the morning as far as water goes. And we explain that in our book. But if you wake up in the morning and you don't eat anything, now I'm not saying that people should necessarily do this, but if you didn't eat anything, you wake up in the morning and you just start your day, you will continue to be in fat burning mode until you eat something that causes you to stop being in fat burning mode. However, if you get up and eat your morning oatmeal, you know, within a half an hour or an hour after you get up, guaranteed your fat burning mode has been turned off. Turned off. Your body goes into fat storage mode. That's what people don't understand.
Well, that does seem to make a lot of sense. So what do you do in the morning when you're waking up and you're saying, God, I'm hungry, I want to eat something, and fat burning or fat storage be damned, I'm hungry, I want to eat. Mm-hmm. What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, one of the things that we teach people in the book is, you know, being adequately hydrated is one thing, Okay, mm-hmm. Everybody tells you should drink 8 glasses of water a day, and you should do this, and that's good advice. There is something to that. However, we take a much more in-depth approach to ways that you can use how water is good for you and ways you can use it. Number one, like I said before, when you wake up first thing in the morning, you're really not hungry. I mean, you might think you're hungry, but you're really not hungry. Your stomach is empty, which you're not used to your stomach being empty, and you are dehydrated. And somewhere along the line, humans have gotten their wires crossed where when you're really thirsty, you think you're hungry, and that's a mistake. So what we teach people is when you wake up in the morning, before your coffee, before anything else, drink a couple of large glasses of water, ideally a quart of water. Before you eat anything else, drink a quart of water, and that does two things. One is if you weren't really hungry, if you were just dehydrated and you got your signals crossed, you're not going to be hungry anymore. But number two, we use water like people who get get bariatric surgery. They either get a lap band or they have their stomachs made smaller. The reason why that works, is because they can fit less food in their stomach, number one, and they feel full faster because they can't fit as much food in their stomach. All of our stomachs are stretched. So what we tell people is when you're hungry, water can actually produce the exact same results with no operation and no side effects as any form of bariatric surgery. All you have to do is fill your stomach, and if your stomach is full with any liquid, it doesn't matter whether it's food or water, your body will, release hormones to tell you that you're not hungry anymore. So that's a trick that we teach in the book, is how to use water to your fat-burning advantage. In addition to that, fat burning produces a lot of byproducts, okay? You're burning your fat. Usually it burns pretty clean when you get it to burn, but, you have other byproducts, and you need to be adequately hydrated while you're losing fat, particularly when you're losing fat rapidly, because if you have enough water going through your system, virtually everything can get flushed out through your kidneys, which is a very efficient way to do it. But if you're not hydrated enough, any toxins or anything else that are in your body or, excess, metabolic byproducts end up having to go, if they can't all go through your kidneys, they're going to go through your liver, and that's not what you want to do.
That brings up a point. I have kidney issues. To the point that I'm working my can off trying to avoid dialysis. Is this method of losing weight, because you mentioned the kidneys, my kidneys aren't working very well. Can I conceivably overload those kidneys?
Well, let's put it this way. You're probably overloading them right now with whatever you're doing.
Right.
Okay? So if you're asking me if drinking a lot of water is going to overload your kidneys, no. It's actually going to... help your system, but honestly, and I'm not saying that you can avoid dialysis and things like that, but you can never. Your kidneys are filters,
right?
Okay, and they filter things in your body. The more junk that you put into your body, the harder your kidneys have to work.
Right.
The more junk that you put in your body without adequate water in your system to help them. To help push metabolic byproducts and other environmental toxins through your kidneys, the more stress you put on your kidneys. So, losing excess fat has been shown to improve every physiological function in your body, including kidney function and liver function. Drinking water might help you a little. But it's more than that. It's really learning to avoid the things that have put a stress on your kidney to start with. And a lot of it is the excess fat you've accumulated. You're putting in, when you accumulate way too much fat, when somebody gets fat, they're taking in way more calories than they need. And most of the time, they're very empty calories. So you can actually be, you can actually eat plenty of calories, but still be still suffer from malnutrition, and your body will know it. And your body will know it, and that's what makes people hungry. When they're eating junk food, they're all hungry all the time because their body is smart enough to know on a cellular level that they're not getting the nutrients that they need. So when you go overweight, you're stressing. When you're putting on fat, you're stressing your kidneys. You're stressing you're stressing every single organ in your body.
Oh, yeah, it's your kidneys, it's your heart, it's your liver, it's your lungs, it's everything that's being stressed.
Exactly.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, there is a laundry list. I've been to the dietitians, I've been to the specialists, and I go to the specialists on a regular basis for monitoring. But there is a laundry list of foods that I cannot eat, that I'm not supposed to eat because they're high in potassium, they're high in phosphorus. They may have natural sodium in them, and so on and so forth. I mean, the list of foods that I can't eat is longer than the list of foods that I would normally be eating. It's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to be strong on chicken and fish, and I've got to watch the fish, which fish I eat. But nonetheless, I know what I have to do is a doable diet from the standpoint of what the foods are and whether or not I like them. I mean, I can't eat dairy products. I can't have ice cream. I can't have milkshakes, which I would love to have a milkshake, but I'm not supposed to consume it. And it's from a different point of view from what you're discussing, but it's still from the same point of view at the same time. It's we're killing two birds with one stone there. Now, I know that sometimes I look at my diets, my kidney diet sheets that I have, and I go, wow, this is a pain in the neck to make this and to whip this up, you know. And I'm the only one here eating it, although probably other people could but in the house. But nonetheless, for the most part, it's based on what my needs are. Is your book, in your menus that are in your book, are they easy to fix? I mean, are they something that I can throw together and have a meal in 10 or 15 minutes for myself and my family?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you why. This is a good time to tell people, to tell your listeners that if they go to turbochargeddiet.com and they go into the store, we actually have a free, if you look through the different things that are there, we actually have a free mini recipe book that they can download to get an idea. And it has, you know, it's a good selection. There's 50 recipes, so it's not, you know, it's not just, you know, one or two things. So they can get that for free. And we also have a stress reduction beginner kind of a beginner meditation audio that they can download too. But the reason why, and what we talk about in the books, in our original, we have a whole recipe book. We actually have a turbocharged recipe book. It's got over 300, you know, easy-to-fix recipes in it. But the reason, you brought up a good point. Our program keeps everything, extremely simple, okay? It's extremely simple, the exercise routine that we put. It's extremely simple to incorporate the activity that we recommend, okay? When it comes to meals, let's go back and look at how our bodies work best, okay? Back 30,000 years ago, we didn't have refrigerators. We couldn't store up and have a big meal with 9,000 different ingredients that go into it and sit down and eat, a salad and a main meal and vegetables and potatoes and then sit down and have dessert after that. That was non-existent. Back then, people ate what they found along the line, and meals were extremely simple. There were times when people were eating eating some kind of plant or fruit, and there were other times when if they were lucky enough to kill or catch or find some kind of animal product that they could eat, that's what they ate. You know, and for days at a time, if they killed, you know, a woolly mammoth, they would probably, you know, the whole group would probably be eating woolly mammoth until it was all gone or it was just not edible anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So the meals and the way our bodies work best is to have the simplest meals possible. Now, what do I mean? What I mean is that balanced meals look good on paper, but they're not good. Because people stick all kinds of things in their stomach, and it's very hard on our digestive systems. We're not meant to work that way. So in our, you know, in our program, we teach people how to make extremely simple meals, if not what we call mono meals. Meaning, if you want to eat a steak, cook yourself a steak, sit down and eat a steak, but don't eat it with potatoes and all kinds of other things and chips and everything else to try and get a balanced diet, because you don't, that your digestive system has too hard a time to digest it, and most of the time you end up with incomplete digestion. If you want to have a big salad, have a big salad. If you want to have a vegetable meal, have a vegetable meal. If you want to eat fruit, but eat all by itself and eat as much as you want. And what people notice is that all of a sudden that they have more energy. Why would that be? Because digestion takes up a lot of, uses a lot of energy. And the harder you, the more stuff you dump in your stomach trying to do a balanced meal or just having a big Thanksgiving meal, the harder it is for you to digest. And that's a good example. All we have to do is look at, we're coming up to Thanksgiving, look at what happens at Thanksgiving meals. People eat everything. And how do they feel after they eat it for the rest of the night? They feel like crap.
They're on the couch sleeping.
That's right. And the reason is because, whoa, you're just overloading your body totally. So in answer to your question, we promote very, very simple meals. I mean, most of the time in the evening, I mean, I eat a lot of different things, but, you know, most of the time in the evening, you know, I'll eat, you know, a steamed vegetable, you know, with a protein, or I'll eat a big salad with a protein, or, you know, or maybe I'll make a, you know, some sort of a bean dish. Or if I'm in the mood, you know, I'll have maybe a salad with a, you know, a baked sweet potato. But, you know, it's, you know, the meals are very simple. Our meals are either mono meals or what we call 90-10 meals, meaning, you know, and it's, that's not a scientific thing. It's kind of an eyeball thing where, you know, you have basically two things on your plate, and one of them is 90% of your meal and the other part is 10%. And you can make, you know, numerous, you know, you can come up with numerous combinations that way. And you get plenty of variety, but we don't get a variety at each meal. When you're turbocharged, you get your variety over the course of the day, over the course of the week, over the course of the month. And that's how we, you know, that's how you work with your body instead of against it.
Well, you just said something that's really very interesting, because lately I've taken to I don't have anything to speak of. I may have a little bit of a sweet roll or something in the morning, or maybe some toast with some coffee. Noon, I'll have something that was probably left over from last night's dinner. And dinner, I will have, for instance, last night I had salad, a tossed salad, and chicken breast done on the George Foreman grill. That's what I ate. That's all I ate last night was the chicken and the salad. And okay. In essence, without even realizing it, although I don't think it was quite 90-10, it was closer to 60-40. That's basically what I did without even realizing, and I did what you're suggesting to at least to some degree.
Yeah, but you know what? So what it is, it's actually very simple. Most people, when they start to hear it, they say, well, wait a minute, I kind of do that. But let me tell you what you did wrong. Let me tell you what you did wrong, just so you know. And your listeners will understand it right off the bat. Your breakfast turned off your fat-burning switch.
Yep.
Okay, it just did. Okay? Your toast or your cereal or your oatmeal, that kind of thing, or your sweet roll in particular, that turned off your fat-burning. Now, tomorrow morning when you wake up, drink an ice cold, by the way, drinking ice cold water on an empty stomach increases your metabolism by up to 20% for the next 2 hours. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. So if people want to increase their metabolism, drink ice cold water, on an empty stomach and, you know, throughout the day, and you'll see it lowers your whole body temperature and your body has to work harder just to maintain that 98.6. But if you were to get up tomorrow morning and have a nice big glass of cold water, put it in a mason jar and put it in your refrigerator the night before, you know, if you don't have a water cooler. And, you know, when you wake up in the morning, while you're making your coffee or before you actually drink your coffee, work on sipping down that quart of water. You know, and if you're in the mood, if you're in the mood to, you know, have something first thing in the morning, have a piece of fruit or, you know, try eating some scrambled eggs. I'm usually not that hungry in the morning. And, you know, here's the other point. People think that they need to eat 3 square meals a day plus snacks.
Right.
You know, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Believe me, if you've got excess fat on your body, you don't have to eat at all. You could live for a long time with just air and water. Now, I'm not telling people to do that, but that just happens to be a fact. So people say, well, wait a minute, I really need to eat 3 meals a day or my blood sugar is going to go bad or something else is going to happen. That is absolutely not going to happen. That's absolutely false. As a matter of fact, most people who don't eat and they get a little dizzy, they think their blood sugar is. They've done tests. Those people do not have low blood sugar, okay? It's either psychological or it's other, or they're in fat-burning mode, and toxins that are stored in their fat just happen to be circulating around their system, making them feel bad. But if you were to then wait, just wait. We would tell people that's one of the key steps in the program. If you're not hungry, if you think you're hungry, drink a big glass of water first and wait 15 minutes and see if you're still hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not hungry, don't eat. It doesn't matter what time it is. Don't eat. You know, if you skip breakfast is not the most important meal of the day. As a matter of fact, breakfast is one of the meals that will sabotage most people's diets. So if people gave up breakfast, I think we'd all be in better shape.
It sounds as though that, you know, when I remember when I was a kid, my parents would say to me, just relax, settle down, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like I got these hunger pangs. Just settle down, drink a little bit of water, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Well, if you are hungry, we tell people, if you are hungry, make a good selection. Make
right.
a good selection. And we give people a lot of options. You know, if people, you know, like fruit, eat fruit. If people, you know, like vegetables, eat salad for breakfast. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I'm not saying that people should do that, but there are a lot of options other than sticky rolls. You have to decide, and I'm not saying you have to give up sticky rolls for the rest of your life. You just have to set some priorities and decide
sure.
if you want to lose your excess body fat first before you eat any more sticky rolls.
There you go. There you go. It is a setting of priorities, isn't it? It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can see here now by the hands on the clock that we're down to the short rows. Matter of fact, we're beyond the short rows. We're into plowing over the front lawn. Tom, I want to thank you tremendously for being on the show today, and I know there's so much more to talk about. We're going to have to do this again at some point. I know you've got some travels coming up, but, you know, maybe 90 days out or something, we can revisit some of these topics.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
That'll be a lot of fun. Absolutely. So why don't you go ahead and give us another your shameless self-promotion, as we call it. Tell us anything that you want to know people to know about how they can get hold of you. Tell them about where they can get those 50 downloadable recipes, all that good information. So here's your shot for your promotion.
Okay, it's nice and easy to remember. It's turbochargeddiet.com. The main book is Turbocharged. If you type in it on Amazon, you'll see all of the books show up. But you can order them through our website, turbocharggeddiet.com. Go on to the website and go to the store. You'll see where it says store. Download your free beginner meditation and your free mini recipe book. I used to write 5 blogs a week, but now I'm down to 2. But you can go through the blogs. If you have a question about a kind of a diet, you know, a diet question, type in the search to see if we've talked about it in the blog. There's a lot of great information there. There's a link to our Facebook page. So that's where I would tell people to start. Just go to turbochargeddiet.com, and from there you'll be in great shape.
Sounds great. I really do appreciate you taking the time. I'm going to give you a call here right after the show if you have a couple of minutes to visit with me on something else. So
yes.
I'll look forward to talking with you here very shortly. And thanks again, Tom, for being on the show today. And I appreciate your taking the time to be with us.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Pete, and I can't wait to come back on again.
Thanks again. We'll talk again soon. Thank you very much. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Arizona Boomer Radio with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Arizona Boomer Radio is produced by the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated and can be heard Monday through Friday. You can sign up for their online magazine at boomerandthebabe.com. To reach the Boomer and the Babe, email host@boomerandthebabe.com or friend them on facebook.com/boomerandbabe. And on Blog Talk, you can friend them at blogtalkradio.com/boomerandbabe. Follow their tweets at twitter.com/boomerandbabe. Be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. And remember, at 50, you're just getting started.